Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 221. O Jesus, our dear Master, thy works, now understood, reveal their full effulgence through love and brotherhood. Today, Christ's precious science, thy healing power makes plain. With joy may all obey thee, and cast out sin and pain. Hymn number 221. Scriptural this morning will be given by Janet from Georgia.
Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the repetition of the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father,
which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One,
thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 34. Christ comes again with holy power to lift our blinded eyes to see. The sick are healed, the sinner blessed, as on that eve in Galilee. Hymn number 34.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you did miss it, and I hope you didn't, you can still catch it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you'll also be able to find it on our YouTube channel. We have a Sunday school that meets at 11 a.m. every Sunday. And that Sunday school has its own teleconference number. That means that any child anywhere in the world can attend. So if you don't live in the area and you have a child of Sunday school age, please call us. We'll give you the number. And we'd be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers, so you can bring the whole family. And I'd like to point out an article featured on our English website that is entitled, What Constitutes Being Awake to Evil's Claims? It's one thing to see evil happening, but it's another thing to be awake to what it's claiming. And that article is by Herbert W. Eustace. Short, but very good and to the point. Recommended highly. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from miscellaneous writings, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Pam from Virginia.
Page 429 to 431. Some of the experiences given in the journal have been so helpful to me, I have been moved to give to its readers a little experience of my own, which occurred when I first began the study of science and health with key to the scriptures. I had already been healed of sick headaches almost instantly by declaring that I was God's child, and God is perfect. His child must be perfect also. This had given me great happiness and a quiet, peaceful state of mind I never had known before. My family did not seem to see anything good in Christian Science, but to me, it was sacred. One Monday morning, I awoke feeling very ill indeed. The morning was warm and sultry. I thought I certainly could not wash that day. But when I went downstairs, I found my daughter had made preparations for such work. I thought, well, if she feels like washing, I will not say anything. Perhaps I shall get over this. After breakfast, I went about my work, thinking I could lean against the tub and wash with more ease than I could do up the morning work. I tried to treat myself as I had done before, tried to realize that all is mine, there is no matter, that God is all, there is nothing beside him, but all to no purpose. I seemed to grow worse all the time. I did not want my family to know how badly I was feeling. And it was very humiliating to think that I must give up and go to bed. All at once, these questions came to me as though spoken by someone taking me away from my line of thought entirely. How is God an ever-present help? How does he know our earnest desires? Then, without waiting for me to think how, the answer came in the same way. God is conscious mind. Instantly, the thought came, is God conscious of me? Can I be conscious of him? I was healed instantly. Every bad feeling was destroyed. I could see that the morning had not changed a particle, but I was oblivious of the weather. It did not seem that I had anything more to do with that washing. It was finished in good season while I was absent from the body and present with the Lord. That was the beginning of the battle with sin and self. But at the same time, it was the dawning of the resurrection. Since then, over 4 years, I have had many experiences, some of which seem too sacred to give to the world. False literature has caused me much suffering. Sorrow has visited my home. But through all this, the light that came to me on that Monday morning, that new and precious sense of omnipresent life, truth, and love, has never left me one moment. It was the light that cannot be hid. Mrs. H.B.J., Cambridge, Illinois.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 18 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Christ Jesus. The golden text is from 1 Timothy. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The responsive reading is from John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John.
The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name,
which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Bruce will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Isaiah. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Matthew. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And he entered into a ship, and passed over, and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. John. Then said Jesus, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Carol will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Christ is the true idea voicing good, the divine message from God to men, speaking to the human consciousness. The Christ is incorporeal, spiritual, yea, the divine image and likeness, dispelling the illusions of the senses. The way, the truth, and the life, healing the sick and casting out evils, destroying sin, disease, and death. As Paul says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus demonstrated Christ. He proved that Christ is the divine idea of God, the Holy Ghost or Comforter, revealing the divine principle, love, and leading into all truth. Jesus was the son of a virgin. He was appointed to speak God's word and to appear to mortals in such a form of humanity as they could understand as well as perceive. He expressed the highest type of divinity which a fleshly form could express in that age. Into the real and ideal man, the fleshly element cannot enter. Thus it is that Christ illustrates the coincidence or spiritual agreement between God and man in his image. Christ is not a name so much as the divine title of Jesus. Jesus established his church and maintained his mission on a spiritual foundation of Christ healing. He taught his followers that his religion had a divine principle which would cast out error and heal both the sick and the sinning. He claimed no intelligence, action, nor life separate from God. Despite the persecution this brought upon him, he used his divine power to save men, both bodily and spiritually. Jesus established what he said by demonstration, thus making his acts of higher importance than his words. He proved what he taught. This is the science of Christianity. Jesus proved the principle which heals the sick and casts out error to be divine. Few, however, except his students, understood in the least his teachings and their glorious proofs, namely, that life, truth, and love, the principle of this unacknowledged science, destroy all error, evil, disease, and death. Neither the origin, the character, nor the work of Jesus was generally understood. Not a single component part of his nature did the material world measure aright. Even his righteousness and purity did not hinder men from saying, "He is a glutton and a friend of the impure, and Beelzebub is his patron." Jesus was the highest human concept of the perfect man. He was inseparable from Christ, the Messiah, the divine idea of God outside the flesh. This enabled Jesus to demonstrate his control over matter. Angels announced to the wise men of old this dual appearing, and angels whisper it through faith to the hungering heart in every age. The Man of Sorrows best understood the nothingness of material life and intelligence, and the mighty actuality of all-inclusive God, good. These were the two cardinal points of mind healing, or Christian Science, which armed him with love. The highest earthly representative of God, speaking of human ability to reflect divine power, prophetically said to his disciples, speaking not for their day only, but for all time, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and these signs shall follow them that believe." The ancient Christians were healers. Why has this element of Christianity been lost? Because our systems of religion are governed more or less by our systems of medicine. The first idolatry was faith in matter. The schools have rendered faith in drugs the fashion, rather than faith in deity. By trusting matter to destroy its own discord, health and harmony have been sacrificed. Such systems are barren of the vitality of spiritual power, by which material sense is made the servant of science, and religion becomes Christ-like. Christ, as the spiritual or true idea of God, comes now, as of old, preaching the gospel to the poor, healing the sick, and casting out evils. Is it error which is restoring an essential element of Christianity, namely apostolic divine healing? No, it is the science of Christianity which is restoring it, and is the light shining in darkness, which the darkness comprehends not. Who is ready to follow his teaching and example? All must sooner or later plant themselves in Christ, the true idea of God. The Master said, "No man cometh unto the Father, the divine principle of being, but by me, Christ, life, truth, love. For Christ says, I am the way." Physical causation was put aside from first to last by this original man, Jesus. He knew that the divine principle, love, creates and governs all that is real. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. Thus, Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is intact, universal, and that man is pure and holy. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. It is not well to imagine that Jesus demonstrated the divine power to heal only for a select number or for a limited period of time, since to all mankind and in every hour, divine love supplies all good. Our Master cast out devils, evils, and healed the sick. It should be said of his followers also that they cast fear and all evil out of themselves and others and heal the sick. God will heal the sick through man, whenever man is governed by God. The impersonation of the spiritual idea had a brief history in the earthly life of our Master, but of his kingdom there shall be no end, for Christ, God's idea, will eventually rule all nations and peoples, imperatively, absolutely, finally, with divine science.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 304. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Shepherd, show me how to go o'er the hillside steep, how to gather, how to sow, how to feed thy sheep. I will listen for thy voice, lest my footsteps stray. I will follow and rejoice all the rugged way. Hymn number 304.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 414. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. It is my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Hymn number 414.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and is infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Galatians. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen.